Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek He, Chapter 5. Quick review. In Chapter 4, in Perek Dalid, we saw that Eliphaz is criticizing Iyov. He is telling him that he must have sinned, and that's why God is punishing him. If only evil are punished, Eliphaz thinks, then Iyov is definitely a sinner. Repent, he tells Iyov. Don't stand on ceremony and say, you don't deserve this. You must deserve this. Otherwise, why such a punishment? Even the most righteous sin and the angels are not perfect. So you think you are an exception? That is the substance of Perek Dalet of Chapter 4. Eliphaz is not comforting Iyov. He is confronting him and confronting his views on divine justice and is blaming Iyov for his tragedy. And we discussed last time. Think of this. You're in a Shiva house and you are blaming or deciding why the death happened to the person, the loved one, or the relative of the person you are trying to comfort. Chapter 5, Perek He, is a continuation of Eliphaz's rebuke. The end of Chapter 4 was Eliphaz's rendition of his heavenly prophecy and vision, and here he continues to chastise Iyov and his views. Eliphaz turns to Iyov and says, this is verse 1, Krana hayesh onecha, ve'el mi mikdoshim tifne. Now, translation, if you call out, none of the holy beings can answer you. Right? You're speaking such nonsense, Iyov, that no one's going to answer you. Who's going to answer you? Verse 2 and on. Because anger will kill a fool. Rashi explains that your anger is going to cause you to be killed. If you remain silent, maybe God will forgive you. But because you're starting up with God and arguing with him, he will not have mercy on you. Eliphaz is telling Iyov, the worst thing to do in this kind of case after a tragedy is to argue with God, is to be angry at God, because your anger is going to kill you in the end. So Eliphaz is saying, you got this, remain silent, take it stoically, but definitely don't argue against God, because he's of course not going to have any mercy on you, rachamim on you. You know what I see in the world, says Eliphaz? He says, I have seen fools, i.e. wicked, according to Ramban. Right? Eliphaz says, I have seen wicked people be successful. And Ramban says, not just fools, but wicked people. I have seen it. Meaning Eliphaz says, no, everything in the world, only the good are successful. So obviously if you're being punished, then obviously you've sinned. So Eliphaz is now just going back a little, just enough to say, yes, I have seen fools, i.e. according to Ramban, wicked, prosper and setting roots, but their dwelling is cursed right away. Their children do not prosper, and the hungry and thirsty eat their wealth. So Eliphaz is saying, yeah, even if the wicked or the people who are not upright and upstanding are prospering, and it looks like they're setting roots and they're successful, but their success is super short-lived. Now, there are different interpretations to this verse that, oh, I have seen the wicked prosper, but their dwelling is cursed right away, which means, but it's short-lived. Ibn Ezra, Ramban, Malbim say that Eliphaz himself is cursing the fool's success. which means Eliphaz is saying, not only do we see this in the world, but when I see it, I curse their success, and then boom, bad things happen. Which means it's all right to see if those people prosper, to curse their success, and then they're going to be those results. Or Ibn Janach says, a fool's success is inherently cursed. I don't have to do anything to make it happen. That is just the reality. It crumbles on its own. So let's compare the two. According to many Mefarshim, as we said earlier, Ibn Ezra, Ramban, Malbim, when Eliphaz sees fools succeed, he says, I say, oh, this should not last long because they don't deserve it. Not that it happens right away on its own, but that he curses it because that's not right. Ibn Janach says, Eliphaz is just describing what he sees in life. The fools, or i.e. Ramban says, wicked, are successful, but it's very short-lived. And Eliphaz is saying, don't worry, even if you see the wicked people successful, it's very short-lived. Now, you have to understand, this is also a criticism of Eov, because Eov's children, right, did not survive, and they were all killed, and all of his wealth was destroyed. So Eliphaz, even though he's saying this about the Rishaim, already we understand he is implying this about Eov. Let's go on. So we already see criticisms of Elihu, of Eliphaz. He supposedly came to give comfort, but we don't see any comfort here. Verse 6. Why does this happen? Lo yitze me'afar aven, u'me adama lo yitzmach amal. For destruction does not emerge from dust, or misery grow from the soil. Misery and destruction doesn't come from nowhere. Rashi explains that a plague that befalls a person is not for naught. It doesn't happen randomly. A plague is a punishment. Verse 7, because people sin and get punishment, and only the angels are beyond that. So my advice to you, says Eliphaz, verse 8, Ulam ani edrosh el, ve'el elokim asim divrati. Rashi explains, if these tortures and agonies, yisurim, happen to me, I would appeal to the Holy One, blessed be He, with prayer, supplication, with tefillah, bakasha, and I would speak respectfully requesting Hashem, God's mercy, and not complain. So Eliphaz is saying, if these things happen, don't argue against God. Repent. Yisurim, these agonies are happening, so repent. Don't complain. Beg for God's mercy. Because, verse 9, God is all-powerful, and He brings rain, raises the lowly, thwarts the cunning, traps the shrewd. So instead of criticizing God's rebuke of you, you should repent. You should pray to God. You shouldn't be adversarial, just the opposite. Verse 17, Hine ashrei enosh yochichenu eloka, umusar shaddai al timas. Fortunate is the man who God rebukes. What is going on here? Eliphaz is saying, God is rebuking you, and He's giving you a chance to do tshuva. It's for your sins. You're being punished for your sins, but not because God wants to destroy you, but so you should learn a lesson. You should accept these rebukes. And Mitzudat David explains, these sufferings are Yisurim Shel Avon. These sufferings are sufferings that will erase your sin and make your life better. And since everything is a message from God, this is a message in Musar from God, so don't despise it. Eliphaz is telling Eov, it's a message. You should do tshuva. You should repent. You should look to God. And these are for your sins. So instead of killing you, God is giving you suffering that will erase your sin and make your life better. So just do tshuva, repent. Philosophically and hashkafically, what Eliphaz is saying is that there's a concept of yisurin memarkin, that suffering erases sin, expiates sin, and that this suffering will benefit Eov in the long run, since everything is divinely providential. It's from God. And these sufferings are a path towards tshuva, repentance. Verse 19. God might punish you 6 times, but by the 7th you won't suffer, because your other suffering is a merit to save you from the 7th. Eliphaz wants to say that suffering has a purpose. It's not random. Even though you might experience famine, war, slander, plunder, robbery, wild beasts, after suffering these difficulties, you will have a covenant with the stones and beasts and will be safe, meaning the earlier sufferings will save you from the later ones, and you and your family will flourish. The Gaon of Vilna explains that Eliphaz is transmitting the idea that if Eov accepts God's punishment now and does teshuvah, repentance, he will live to an old, ripe age in good health. He will be like a sheaf of grain that is harvested just at the right time, not too early, and green, that denotes a life cut short, and not dry and shriveled, which denotes a long life, but not a productive one, but just right, strong and vigorous, even at an old age. And Eliphaz concludes, Hine zot chakarnuha, ken hi, shma ena ve'ata da lach. We have investigated it, and it is true. Know this. So what is Eliphaz's message in this whole perek? That obviously Eov had to sin, and that's why this is happening. His kids sinned, and that's why this is happening. Instead of killing Eov, God is bringing him suffering. Instead of arguing with God, Eov should accept the suffering. Do tshuva, repent, get closer to God. And then he learned his lessons from this. Yisurim memarkim, the suffering is really erasing the sins. That's his punishment. And it's also a way to get closer to God. So what is Eliphaz's message in this perek, according to Ralbag and Mitzudat David? The world is run by divine providence. God rules the world. And we see this in two ways. The wicked are punished and destroyed. Good people who sin suffer. But it's a way of forgiving and erasing their sins, and then they go on to prosper. So the world is not just random, because we see there is order in how nature works and how eventually the wicked perish. So one of the new ideas introduced in this chapter is the idea of suffering as a path to redemption. We have the whole book to discuss many of these issues, but our question is going to be, so is Eov going to say, you're right, I'm going to do tshuva, I'm going to try to get closer to God, I obviously sinned? Or is he going to say, I still don't deserve these punishments? It's true that those things are a path to God, but I did not sin to deserve all of this suffering. So we're going to go on to chapter 6 and see how Eov responds to this. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.